Well, if you've been tracking with us for the past few weeks, we've been working through this series we called All In, and we've been talking about the fact that God has gone all in for us. He has made great sacrifices to be in relationship with us, and so our response is to go all in for Him and to go all in with our resources, to be willing to make deep sacrifices in the things that God has given us, because that in that we embody the character of God Himself, who is willing to make great sacrifices for us. And so we've been talking about things like our money and our time and our skill sets, and those are representative three big things, resources in our lives that are representative of all of the resources that are in our lives that we are called to become sacrificial with as we serve the people around us and show people God's love, because we recognize that He's given us every good gift. So today, we're going to wrap up that series. We are going to spend a few minutes around the communion table in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to give you one really good reason why you should not go all in. This is why. If you go all in with your resources, with your time, with your money, with your skill set, you will have less for you. And that's a big deal, because you're important, right? And let's just be really honest about it. I'll just be straightforward. When it comes to sacrificing our tangible resources that we've been given, if we're really honest and we get down to the bottom line, when we're asked to make sacrifices of things that mean a lot to us and are important in our lives, we can talk a whole bunch of reasons of why we shouldn't, why we can't. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. This is why, you know, things are too tight. I can't be generous with my money because things are tight and there's so many demands and, you know, my family and all this kind of stuff. And we can say, well, my time, I'm just so busy at work and I would love to give more of my time, but I'm so busy at work and there's just no time left over. We talked about this last week. We said, I don't have time. We can come up with reasons why we don't sacrifice of our energy or our skill set. You know, I'm tired and I'm drained. If I do that, I'm going to be tired and all that kind of stuff. And some of that is true, but if we're really honest about it, when it comes down to it, all the ways that we excuse ourselves from making sacrifices, what the biggest thing for most of us is of why we're not going to make sacrifices in our life is because it takes away from us. It takes away from me. My lifestyle, my comfort, the things that feel good in my life. And honestly, I don't know how many of us register this consciously, but I think somewhere in the back of our minds, we think maybe it's not worth it. I just don't have enough, or this isn't going to pay off. If I make this sacrifice at the end of the day, I'm just going to have less for me, less money, less time, less energy, because I've put it all out there for other people, or I've given it to God, and there's not going to be enough for me. And today, maybe you can think of something in your life that you kind of hold back from being generous with or giving with. And if you're really honest with yourself, it's because it's going to cost you. And so if there's any chance that we are going to go all in with our resources in a real and significant way, we're going to need a big reason to overcome that excuse of, yeah, but that's going to cost me. Yeah, that means I'm going to have less for me, less for my lifestyle. And so what is that reason? I'll give you what I think is probably the most powerful reason, the most important reason. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11 that says this: without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. This is so huge and this is so important, because as we talk about things like money and time and skill set and energy and all that kind of stuff, I think for most of us, there's at least one area of our life where we go, I'm not sure about this. So we're willing to sacrifice in a bunch of areas, but many of us, maybe all of us, have one or two areas where we go, God, this one, I'm not so sure if I can give it to You. You can have my time, but You can't have my money. You can have my money, but You can't have my energy. You can have this, but I don't know about this. And many of us, we have that compartment of our life where we say, I'm a person of faith. I want to follow God. I want to do what's right. But there's this one area of my life where I'm just not so sure that I could give that up. And one of the things we do is we sometimes minimize that and we say, well, it's just money, or it's just time, or it's just my morality in this one area and everything else is okay. But this is why it's so important that we get a grip on those things, because when we're holding back in certain areas of our lives, when we're unwilling to submit to God in certain areas of our lives, we don't have a problem with just that one thing. We have a problem with our faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But whoever would draw near to God, if you want to have this close, vibrant, exciting relationship with God, you must believe, one, that he exists, that there is a God. That's important. But two, to go further and to say that he rewards those who seek him, and not just those who seek him in some trivial kind of way, but those who seek him with everything that they have, those who seek to live in faith with all of their life, including all of their resources, everything that God has given us. And so it becomes a matter of whether or not we are willing to trust God. And so you say, well, it's just my money that I'm not willing to give, or it's just my time that I'm not willing to sacrifice, or, you know, my energy, I just don't have enough to really serve other people, and so that's what I hold back. But really what we're saying is when we're not willing to give those things up, have open hands with God and say, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will do and I will follow you, what we're really struggling with is whether or not we can trust him. Whether or not we can trust him with everything that we are and everything that we have. And this is so important because what the writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if you would draw near to him, if you want to draw near to him, if you believe that he exists and you are willing to seek him, then God rewards that. Do you believe that God will reward your sacrifice? That's going to be the hinge of whether or not you can surrender your entire life to him or whether or not you're going to hold back. It's an issue of our faith. And faith is this. I'll give you a quick definition of what I think faith is like. Faith is living with confidence that God will do what God said he would do. Living in confidence that when he asks of us, when he asks us to sacrifice, when he asks us to give of ourselves, that God will come through, he will do what he said he will do. And faith is living with confidence like that, saying, I am so confident that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do, that I will put my money where my mouth is. I will put my time where my mouth is. I will put my energies where my mouth is. I am willing to live confidently, not just talk, not even just believe, yeah, God exists and he's God and all that kind of stuff. But if you really believe that, to seek him by living in faith. And that's why our tagline really for this whole series has been, we go all in for him because he's gone all in for us. And today as we conclude, that is the message I want you to get. We're going to spend a few minutes talking and remembering and processing the fact that God has gone all in for us. He's been willing to sacrifice for us so much that our natural response is that we go all in for him, because we know he's proven it over and over that he'll be there for us, that he will come through, that he is the one who gives us everything that we have, that he is the one that provides for us, that he is the one that ultimately will give us satisfaction and joy, that he is actually the real, true, deep sense of life itself, both for now and forever, even beyond this life. And if that is true, and if we believe that's true, not just in a mental sense, but we have so much confidence that we can live it out, we will have a growing faith that God will come through and that God rewards those who seek him, who put their faith in him, who put their trust in him in the most real and tangible ways, even with the resources we have, even with every resource that we have. And that is so exciting. It's scary. Because again, when we sacrifice, we know that that leaves less for us. But when we can have the confidence that God ultimately has for us the best possible life in mind, we say it's worth it. And we walk towards him by being sacrificial. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, I'd invite you to do that. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen behind me. And we'd love for you to follow along so that you can grab a grasp on this and not just take my word for it, but follow along with us. Chapter 12 of Hebrews comes right after an entire chapter of a list of people who lived lives of faith. And we see them all throughout Scripture. People who are willing to sacrifice. People who made incredible sacrifices. And we see this list, and I'd encourage you to go home this week and read Hebrews chapter 11 and be inspired by the way that many people gave up so much in order to follow God's call on their life. And then we get to the end of that chapter, and we come to chapter 12, and the writer of Hebrews, we're not sure who it is, wraps things up and says this, therefore, so he's saying therefore, after you've heard about all of these people who have given their entire lives to following what God had for them in store. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, just for a second, who are the witnesses? The witnesses he's talking about that are this great cloud that is around us are the people that you can read about in Hebrews 11, people who live lives of faith, people who gave up their entire selves in order to follow God. And what the writer here is trying to tell us is, listen, I know this seems daunting. I know it seems daunting to be called to the kind of life where you're going to have to sacrifice for yourself. This is completely countercultural, especially today in our culture, which is telling us everything that you have and everything that you earn is for you. You've earned it. Enjoy it. Spend it on yourself. Live a life of as much comfort and pleasure as you possibly can. He's saying, listen, I just want to point you towards a huge group of people who have lived a radically different kind of life, a life of faith, a life where they were willing to give up of themselves for other people and for the call God put on their life. I just want you to spend some time looking at them, because what their lives are doing, their lives are giving testimony and saying to you, when you think this is hard and I can't do that and that seems like a lot for me to give up, they're saying, you can do it and it's worth it. And here's why we know that it's worth it, because we lived it. That's what their testimonies say to us. We did it. When God called us to move, we moved. When God called us to give, we gave. When God called us to lay down our lives, we laid down our lives. And it's hard, but it's worth it. He's saying, look at this cloud of witnesses who are saying to you, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with endurance. Anything that's holding you back from living the life God has for you, anything that's putting a barrier in between you and God, whether that's your money, your time, your resources, anything that we talked about, that thing that you go, God, you can have everything in my life, but not this thing. God, this is the one thing that I really don't want you to invade into. This is the one thing that I'm holding close. This is my moral decisions or my career decisions or my financial decisions. And God, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't want you in there. They're saying anything like that, anything that might even potentially be like that, is like a weight. And there's a race that's been set before you, your life. And there's those testimonies are saying, we want you to run, and we don't want you to get tired, but these things are holding you back. Free yourself of those things. Take off anything in your life. Sacrifice anything in your life that would hold you back from giving everything to Christ. And I'll tell you, if you read through that list of people this week, again, I encourage you to do that. Read through the list of these people. I don't want to diminish the ways in which that's really hard for us to do, because some of us, these are real sacrifices that we're being asked to make in our lives. And many of us would go, that's a big deal. And if I'm willing to sacrifice that, it's going to really change my life. It's going to really change my lifestyle, and it will. So I don't want to make it sound like it's easy or like it's not significant for you. It is. But if you read through Hebrews chapter 11, the people we read about and the sacrifices that they made make the sacrifices that many of us are struggling with, real deep struggles, look a little bit petty. These are people, one verse tells us, that were tortured, mocked, flogged, imprisoned. Some were stoned, sawn in two, and killed by swords. They were poor, afflicted, and mistreated. These are people, and not to diminish the sacrifices that we all have to make, because they're significant, but these are people who are saying, listen, we gave our lives. We were martyred. We were called to leave everything. And so when we go, man, it would be really hard for me to give up a percentage of my income, these are people who would go, you have an income? You have a career? You have the freedom to choose what you want to do in your life? You've got a house that you own. You have time that's discretionary for you. You have a family. They would go, man, you have so much. I mean, we didn't have any of that, and we were up against it, and we gave our entire lives. And I wonder if that makes it harder for us in a sense, because we have so much. We live in such a rich culture. We have so much freedom and so much choice, and we experience, if we're really being honest, so little persecution compared to many Christians who have gone before us. And these people with their lives are crying out and saying, I get it, but we gave up everything, and it was worth it. We're telling you, you can do it. You can run this race. You can live this kind of life, and it will pay off. There's this cloud of witness around us just cheering us on. I mean, the image that we get is, you know, we're runners in a race, and we're in this big stadium, and the crowd is people who have done it before us, and they're cheering us on going, you can do it. You can do it. It's going to cost you, but it is worth it. And when you get across that finish line, you're going to understand that. So run hard, and anything that's clinging to you, anything that's holding you back, rip it off. Take it off. Just run this race. Live your life as full as you can by being sacrificial with everything that you've got. You can do it. It's worth it. Don't let the excuses hold you back. Get rid of anything that distracts you from the life that God has placed before you, because it is so much better, even if it seems harder. And then here's what I want to go, where I want to go today. And this is probably the biggest thing in the whole series. And if you're the kind of person that's sitting there and saying, I want to go all in, I want to be sacrificial, I want to give God everything that I have, but it's hard. This is the key to everything. This is the key to the whole series. It's that second verse where the writer of Hebrews says, looking to Jesus. Or another translation says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And it's interesting in this life how easy it is for us to fix our eyes on anything and everything but Jesus. To fix our eyes on a certain lifestyle. To fix our eyes, if we're really being honest, when we go back to the beginning what we said, to fixing our eyes on ourselves. And so this is so important because he says, I want you to look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who gives us our beginning in faith and the one who's going to bring it to the place where it is full. And then listen to this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This is a parallel statement. We just read about the race that was set before us. A race is set before you. That's your life. And while a race was set before us, a cross was set before him. And we're supposed to parallel these two things as we are set towards the life that we are to live. Jesus was set towards the cross, but for the joy that he saw in that, he endured that cross. He was willing to run that race. I want you to think and fix your eyes on Jesus for a few minutes this morning. I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus in the moment where he stood in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was just before he was arrested, falsely accused, beaten, mocked, and then nailed to a cross to die the death that he died for us. Think about that Jesus for a second and put a parallel in the life that you have before you and in the race that you are being called to run. And then look at the race that he was called to run, the cross that he was in to endure. And think of Jesus in that moment. He was in the garden. Some of you know this story. And he was praying to his heavenly Father. He knew what was about to happen to him. He knew that he was going to be called to sacrifice his life. He was going to die a painful death. He was going to be put to one of the worst shames that you could imagine in public, being posted on a cross, dying the death of a criminal. And in that garden, he prayed to his heavenly Father. And he prayed, if there's some other way that this could be accomplished. In other words, this is not the race that I would have set out for me. Have you been there? I don't know if I can make this sacrifice. This is hard. This is costly. And then he prayed, but Father, not my will, yours. There's nothing in me that I'm not willing to give you. I'll give you my whole life. And he was arrested. And he was mocked. And he was beaten. And he was crucified. He gave up everything. He gave up everything for us. To walk towards us in love, to show us that we could have a relationship with us, with him. That he would give up everything to forgive us. He went all in. When you look at your life and the race you've been called to run and the things that God is calling you to sacrifice, look to Jesus, the one who gives us faith and the one who perfects our faith, who, because he saw the reward, who saw how worth it would be, endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, seeing how shameful it would be and casting it off to the side and being, that's nothing. I will take that on. As great a sacrifice that is, I will not let the shame hold me back for the joy that there is, for the reward that there is in sacrificially following my Heavenly Father. And that's what he calls us to. Because those who would seek God, those who want to draw close to him, those who would sacrifice for him will be rewarded. We see the reward for Jesus Christ in this verse. It says he would endure the cross, despising the shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, because in God's economy, sacrifice gets rewarded. Jesus in his sacrifice changed the world and the course of human history forever. Whether you believe in him or not, you cannot deny the fact that this world has never been the same. And now Jesus calls his followers, his disciples, to take up their cross and follow him also. And there's no promise that that's going to be easy. And it's not the promise of a life that's not going to have hurdles and struggles. It's not the promise that you, if you give a percentage of your income, he's going to make you rich. It's not the promise that if you give up all your time, he's going to keep you healthy. It's not the promise that if you give up all of your energy, then it's always going to be the most fun thing that you've ever done. But it's the promise that you live in faith. When you live in faith, God will reward you. When you sacrifice for him over the long term, God will come through, because faith lives confidently that God will do what God said he would do. And what's the proof? How do we know? He's done it in Jesus, who gave up his entire life, who died for us, and then God rose him from the dead and has seated him at his right hand. That's the power hand of the throne of God, where he is in charge of everything. And he says, come follow me. Come follow me in a sacrificial life. Come follow me in doing things that are difficult. Come follow me to real, true, deep, satisfying life. It's everything. Go all in for him, because he's gone all in for us. Today we're going to spend some time, the next few minutes as we close, around the communion table. This is a time where we remember what Jesus has done for us. There's two elements that are on the table here. There's the bread and the cup. The bread is symbolic of Jesus' body that he was willing to give for us, that he was willing to become, though he was God, a human being, that he was willing to step in to a world where he was called to make sacrifices, where he was called to endure anything and everything that we've endured. And then there's the cup, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross, the blood by which we find forgiveness of sins, because we know that while he's gone all in for us, we have not always gone all in for us. And one of the things I want you to know today is, before you've made any sacrifice for him, before you've done one thing that pleases him, he went all in for you. If today you've never done one thing to express your love and gratitude towards you, he's already done this for you. That's his grace. That's him loving us when we don't deserve it. And so today, I'm going to ask you to come on up in a few minutes and to take the bread, take the cup, take it back to where you're seated, and to remember he's gone all in for you. To remember that he endured the cross for all of us. To accept the forgiveness that he offers. And then this morning I invite you, as you do that and you remember that he's gone all in for you, if this is in your heart, if this is where you're at, to make a commitment to go all in for him. And when that thing comes to your mind that you know is the thing that you're holding back, that you're not willing to give him, whatever it is for you, the sin that clings on to you and holds you back from the life that God wants for you, as you remember he's gone all in for you, and as you eat the bread and as you drink the cup, just take a minute, just quietly in prayer, say, God, this is the area of my life I'm ready to go all in for you with. I no longer want to hold this back. I no longer want there to be anything in my life that holds me back. And ask him for forgiveness for that. And to ask him to help you to move forward in a different way, giving everything to him. So the band's going to come up as I pray in a second, and they're going to play some music, and we will ask you to come on up. On both sides, we have stations, and there'll be people here to serve you, to just quickly grab each of those elements, take it back to your spot. And whenever you're ready to go ahead, eat that bread. Remember, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. He's gone all in for you. And to answer the question in your own heart and mind, are you willing, are you ready in faith to go all in for him? Whenever you're ready, eat, drink, find sustenance in Jesus for the life that he's called us to live, the life of sacrifice, taking up our cross and following him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've gone all in for us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the willingness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to step into humanity and then to give up himself for us. Thank you that the tomb that he was buried in is empty, that you've given us your spirit to live a powerful life of sacrifice. And God, as we are willing today, God, would you do incredible things in us and through us? God, I pray you'd give people courage who are sitting here today hearing this to take those things that maybe in previous moments they've been unwilling to give up to you. And would you just shatter those shackles, those things that hold us back? And God, allow us to be free in you, to give up everything and there to find true life. God, thank you that we can find the strength to do that in our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, help us to be sacrificial people and there to draw close to you and find that it is the greatest reward, the relationship we have with you, the presence that you bring to our lives. Make us bold. Make us courageous. Thank you for loving us so much that you would give yourself for us and help us to do the same. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.